Why don't you just lift up your hands one more time and just make a funnel. Make a funnel and say, God, I want you to pour into me whatever you need right now. I want you to just start thinking about it, saying, God, I have a need. I came here with a need right now. If you have a need, why don't you lift up your hand and wave it? If you have a need in this house, if you need God to do something, whatever it is, it doesn't matter how big or how small the need is. If you have a need, you ought to think about it right now, because God is going to meet our needs in this place today. I just feel that in the Holy Ghost. I feel it so strongly that God is going to do miracles in this place. I know that we prayed for people, and I believe, you know what? One time I was sick and I had a fever. It wasn't even a church day. I just felt to share this while we were anointing with oil. It wasn't even a church day. And I was sick. I had such a bad fever. And I text my pastor and I said, Pastor, is there going to be a time that you're at the church today? I just want you to anoint me with oil and pray the prayer of faith. Because the Bible says, if any is sick among you, let him come and be anointed with oil and have the prayer of faith prayed over him by the elders. And you know what? I came and I took this same Bible and I began to read that scripture to my pastor. And I said, Pastor, I came in here with the fever and I'm about to leave without it, because the Bible said, you know what? He began to pray for me. I started sweating. I came in there with fever and I walked out of there healed. And I believe that God's already touched people, but I believe that God's going to do a little bit more. If you have your Bibles turned into John chapter 14, verse 12. It's interesting hearing that introduction, because we went to the Deeper Conference in Texas and we didn't have anything. We just had a clear schedule, and I told my pastor we're going to go to Deeper, and I feel like there's a work for us to do somewhere on Sunday. So I just left it open, and it's just funny how God works. But I was praying last night, and I just felt the words faith to faith, and I thought I was going to preach about faith to faith, but I went home and tried to put some messages down about that, and then I came back because I was like, no, that's not it. But I realized that's my assignment today. I know that I'm in a church. I can look and I can tell that I'm in a church that has faith. And sometimes the Bible calls it the faith. Jude said we need to earnestly contend for the faith. Let me tell you, there's only one faith that's going to make it. There's only one faith. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And I believe that I'm in a church right now that believes that. You believe in this Acts 2:38 message. You believe in Jesus' name baptism. You believe in the infilling of the Holy Ghost and holy living. But here's what I feel. We have faith, but God wants to take us to a new dimension of faith today. A dimension of faith that says that need that I asked about. You know, we come into church and we have these needs and we have these things that we wish God would do. And we come because we have faith. You have faith or you wouldn't even be here today. But too many times we leave the same way that we came, because we didn't go from faith to the faith that's able to reach out and grab something from God. And I just believe in the Holy Ghost that that's where we're going to go today. I want to give honor to your pastor. I remember him coming to my church several years ago, and we were still in our old building. And I was just there, and I seen how he followed after the Spirit. That might be unfamiliar to some of you, but like, for someone that tries to follow after the Spirit, you can tell when somebody else has got their feelers out and trying to find that channel of the Holy Ghost. And I felt that when you came to our church. And so I'm thankful today to have the opportunity to be here. Thankful that we met, and just thankful today. And I'm thankful that my wife is here. I give honor to her, and I give honor to my pastor. Thank God for a pastor, that he knows every single place that I go, me and him are close, and he just knows every detail of my life. You know why? Because I'm accountable to him. I never want to get out of submission and out of authority, because if you're ever going to do anything for God, you have to have submission. Right. God has an order, and he doesn't violate that order. So I give honor to my pastor, but most off, I give honor to Jesus Christ today. And without any further ado, let's look at the word of the Lord. John chapter number 14, verse number 12. The Bible says, verily, this is Jesus saying actually, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. For the next few moments, I want to preach greater works here. Greater works here. Why don't you lift up your hands and your voice and begin to cry out to Jesus? So, oh God, I pray right now that the power of the Holy Ghost would begin to flow in this building, that you would anoint, that you would heal, that you would transform, that you would baptize and fill and refill and bless. Right now, God, I pray that we would never be the same again after your miracle work and power comes down into this place. In the name of Jesus, you can be seated. The name of the Lord. I was not born into this glorious one God apostolic truth. I wasn't born into it. And if you were, and if you're here right now, you ought to be thankful that of all the millions or billions, should I say, of people in the world, God allowed you to be able to come and to be able to hear his truth, the truth of the word of God. It's the greatest thing ever. But I wasn't born into this. But I always had this belief in God. I always knew who God was. I always talked to God. I always felt this pull towards God. You know, I just always felt that, even long before I ever walked into a Pentecostal church or long before I ever had any of that, I felt this pull of something towards God. And I had a pretty rough past, and I don't really like to talk about my past that much because God delivered me from that life. You know what? Sometimes people say, I could never imagine you being a drunk, or I could never imagine you being violent, or I could never... You know what? That's the greatest compliment in the world, because you know what? That old me is dead. Hey, and there's something new inside of me, and I'm very grateful for that. But I do want to point out, so I don't glorify my past, but I do want to point out a time in my life where God tried to pull me out of the life that I was living. I was in a place called Russellville, Arkansas, and I was in a bad spot. I'll just say this: if a police would have walked into that room, I would have got a life sentence. And I heard this voice say to me, "I want you to get out of this city, and I don't ever want you to come back to this city." And I was, this is the moment, I was the furthest away from God I've ever been in my life. I heard an audible voice, and it was so strong. I called my mama. I said, Mama, do you got a place for me to come? Because I just felt the Lord tell me to get out of here and don't ever come back. And she said, yeah, come on, please. She was excited about that. And so I came, and I began to stay down there where my mom lived, and I began to go to the Baptist church, and I started seeking after God, and I started seeking things from God, and I started feeling God, and I started praying to God, and I started reading my Bible. But I remember very vividly one time I was reading my Bible, and I was going to that church. And I got into the book of Acts, and I said, well, why don't they got the Holy Ghost, and they were speaking with tongues, and there was miracles and signs and wonders. And I began to say, why doesn't that stuff happen anymore? And I closed my Bible, and I quit going to that church, and I went, you know what I did? I went back to the lifestyle that I was living. Because you can come to God, and you can experience God. But if you got to have something to sustain you. What we got a hold of in the book of Acts is the only thing that can really sustain us. Right. So time went on, and I ended up in Oklahoma, and I had gotten a few DUIs, and I just thought to myself, man, I've got to change Something has got to give. Something has got to change in my life. I don't want to live this way anymore, because I've been chewed up and spit out by the world so many times. Let me tell you, if you ever think that you're going to go out there in that world and you're going to do something, let me tell you right now, you're always going to end up right back on the bottom. This world has nothing to offer you. It has nothing to sustain you. You can go out there and enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Hey, but you're always going to end up right back on the bottom. There was times when I had money, but I was back on the bottom. There was times that I was successful, but I was back on the bottom. And I said, you know what? I'm done living like this. I'm done being on the bottom. And I told my, it was my girlfriend at the time. I told her, I'm gonna go to church. She said, well, there's only one church that you need to go to. That's my parents' church. It's the only, I don't go to church, but that's the only church that's right. And I asked her what kind of church it was. She said, a Pentecostal church. I was like, no way. I was like, no, absolutely not. Because I didn't know what Pentecostals believed. I didn't know what apostolic people believed. I just knew that I'd been told they were crazy. Don't mess with them. And long story short, there was this program called ACTS, Alcohol Chemical Treatment Series. And they were like, well, you don't have to come to church. Just come to the ACTS class. You'll get a paper. You take it to the judge when it's time to go to court, and he'll at least have a little mercy on you because you've been trying. Well, we go to the ACTS class, and they start talking about Jesus. And I say, well, hey, well, they don't believe too much different. They're talking about Jesus. So anyway, I say, you know what? I'll go to that church. And I went to that church, and the power of the Holy Ghost came down, and I seen it. I seen a whirlwind come down from heaven. It would land on somebody, and they would lift up their hands, and a tear would begin to flow down their eyes, and it would land on somebody, and they would begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. And it would land on somebody else, and they would begin to dance and shout and worship God. And I said, God, I don't know what's going on, but I want what these people have. Hey, you know what? After that, I said, God, I'm going to get it. I searched this Bible, and I found out the things that happen in the Bible do still happen. Hey, they happen in an apostolic church. They happen in a church just like this. Hey, my whole life, I look for the real truth and the real power of God, something that could sustain me. And I'm telling you, heaven blessed the day when I walked to an altar like this and I lifted up my hands and God filled me with the Holy Ghost. I began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave me the utterance, and my life was forever changed. My whole life I was looking for something that could really sustain me. And let me tell you what, I found it in this one God, Acts 2:38, Holy Ghost Church. I want to help somebody today. If you're looking for a real experience with God, a real encounter with God, it's no coincidence today that you walked in those doors. God is drawing you to something that can sustain you, something that can help you. Hey, I want to help you today, because a Baptist church isn't going to help you, a Methodist church isn't going to help you, a Catholic church isn't going to help you, a dead, dry church isn't going to help you. The only thing that's going to help you is if you go to a one God apostolic church with the power there, where you can be filled with the Holy Ghost like the Bible says. That's the only way that you're going to make it. That's the only way that you're going to be sustained, is if you get filled with the Holy Ghost. Matter of fact, if you're here today and you don't have the Holy Ghost, you can interrupt me at any time and you can run down to this altar and we will pray you through to the Holy Ghost. It doesn't matter if you interrupt what I have to say. It doesn't matter if you interrupt the service. The most important thing that could happen in here is for somebody to come down here and God to fill them with the Holy Ghost. And I'm telling you, God wants to fill you today. God wants to help you today. Come on, I feel the Holy Ghost backing me up in this house today. Anyway, I got filled with the Holy Ghost, and I never looked back. I'm telling you, it was a week later, I was teaching somebody a Bible study. Hey, you don't have to wait. Start now. And I never looked back. I said, I searched the Bible over and over. I looked for a loophole. I looked for another way. This is the only way. And I started, I just got in church and I just got on fire for God. And I started asking people about great men of God, and I started asking him about heroes of the faith, and I would begin to hear stories about Verbal Bean, and he would go to these churches that were dead and they were dried up and they haven't seen a revival and they haven't prayed anybody through to the Holy Ghost, they hadn't baptized anybody in Jesus' name, and he would go in there and they would preach night after night after night, and they would begin to pray and the power of God would begin to fall and people would get filled with the Holy Ghost. And you know what I said? I said, I'm tired of reading about Verbal Bean's revival. I'm going to see revival for my own self. I'm going to have revival for my own self. I began to read about Azusa Street, where people would come in from all over the world. They'd get filled with the Holy Ghost. There would be wheelchairs and crutches and canes left on the altar. I said, God, I don't want to read about Azusa Street anymore. I want to see it with my own eyes. I read the miracles that happened in the book of Acts, and I said, God, I don't want to read it in here anymore. I want to see it with my own eyes. Because the Bible says that greater works shall ye do. I'm tired of reading about heroes of the faith being mightily used by God. I want to be mightily used by God. I'm tired of reading about stories. I'm tired of hearing about the old days. I'm tired of hearing about revivals where they didn't even have cars yet, and they would get on their horse and they would go. They would work all day. Work ain't an excuse. They would work all day. They would work harder than we do, and they would go to church. They would get on their horse and he would take them to church. They would have church till midnight. Then the horse would, they would fall asleep while the horse drove them back. And I said, I'm tired of reading about stuff like that. I'm going to see it with my own eyes. Hey, it's time. I got it settled in my mind. I'm not going to play church. I'm not going to have business as usual. I'm not going to have casual Christianity. I'm going to see revival. I'm going to see a move of God. I'm going to see a harvest. I'm going to see it in my day. And I wish I could transmit that to somebody right now. Hey, you need to get it in your spirit. I'm going to see revival. I'm going to see a harvest. I'm going to see miracles. I'm going to see signs. I'm going to see wonders. I'm going to see the glory of God, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And greater works shall ye do if you believe. I'm tired of settling. You know what that, of course we can't do greater or better miracles than Jesus did, but that word greater means more. Said it, but you know what? If Jesus raised the dead, we ought to be able to raise the dead. If Jesus opened up blinded eyes, we ought to be opening up blinded eyes. If they got the Holy Ghost back then, we ought to be doing it, because greater works than these shall ye do. And I made it up in my mind. I'm gonna see revival if it's the last thing I do. I'm tired of the culture of just coming to church and leaving the same way we came. I'm tired of the culture of just having church as usual. Whether or not somebody prays through or not, it doesn't matter. No, I'm tired of that culture, and I'm going to preach it till the day that I die. It's time to see greater works than these. The Lord sent me this morning to Apostolic Lighthouse to tell you it's time to see greater works in this church. It's time to see greater revival in this church. God is going to do it if we believe. It's time to see greater revival here. I was reading my Bible last year. And I was reading through the book of Acts, and I write down every miracle that I see in the book of Acts, because something I pray every day is, God, I'm going to see every miracle that happened in that Bible. I'm going to see it. I don't ask him. I tell him, I'm going to see it. It's written. It's written. We can do it. So I'm going to see it. But God spoke to me. He reproved me, Brother Crosswhite. He reproved me. He said, you've missed every one of my most important miracles as I was writing it down. Because what I failed to write down were the miracles of growth. I failed to write down that in Acts chapter 2, 3,000 souls got the Holy Ghost in one day. Acts chapter 4, 5,000 souls got the Holy Ghost in one day. Acts chapter 5, a multitude of souls was added to the church. Acts chapter 6, the word of God and the church multiplied. Now, imagine multiplication. We get satisfied if we have one here and one there. But in the book of Acts, there was this many here today. There's double that tomorrow. There's triple that the next day. Hey, come on. You can get a hold of this, and you can take it out there, and you can see it. I'm telling you. Acts chapter 13. The entire city gathered to hear Paul preach. The entire city.
We're ready.
Acts chapter 17, they had turned the world upside down.
Yeah.
Acts chapter 19, all of Asia heard the word. I'm telling you, I've seen so many healings and miracles and great things, but I'm telling you, the greatest miracle of all is when a sinner comes in and gets filled with the Holy Ghost. God changes his life. God turns his life around, makes him start walking right, make him start talking right. That's the greatest miracle, and it's time to see greater works here. It's time to see greater revival. Greater revival. It's the will of God that everybody in this city gets the Holy Ghost. It's the will of God that everybody in this county gets the Holy Ghost. It's the will of God that everybody in your family gets the Holy Ghost. It's the will of God that everybody on the earth gets the Holy Ghost. You know why? Because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So I'm telling you right now, it's time to get a Bible study chart up under your arm. It's time to get your Bible up under your arm, some church cards, and you time to go out there in this city and knock on doors and say, come on, I've got something that you need to hear. I've got something that you need to know. It's called the Holy Ghost. And you open up that Bible. You start teaching them. Come on, I'm telling you right now, we're not getting excited enough about souls. We're not getting excited enough about soul winning. I preach all the time, and you can preach, and people will jump, and they'll shout, and they'll clap. But you start preaching about soul winning, they sit down on you. Not anymore. I'm telling you right now, it's time to get on fire for God and get out in the highways and the byways and compel them to come. Because I'm telling you, it's the will of God that every seat is full in this place. It's the will of God that you go to a bigger building. It's the will of God that everybody gets the Holy Ghost. I wish you would lift up your hands right now and say, God, make me a soul winner. God, make me a disciple maker. The Bible says you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be a witness. Hey, if you got the Holy Ghost, you can teach a Bible study. You can be a soul winner. You can be a disciple maker. You can do it. It's in you. The power is already there. The devil has lied to this church. Come on, I'm telling you, I'm in the Holy Ghost right now. The devil said the culture is too strong in this city for you to have a revival like that. The devil has said that the college is too liberal. The devil said that there's already too much false doctrine in the city. God confirmed that thought with me when we were driving downtown, and it says this is a city built on faith, and there wasn't one apostolic church on that sign. You know why? Because they don't have the truth. But that should be the only church on that sign, because it's the only real faith. There's only one faith, and you need to take it out there, and you need to tell everybody, this is the only way. Come on, the devil's been lying to you long enough. He said there's too much racism. He said they think they're already saved. You're not going to do any good. But I come to rebuke that lie of the devil and say you will see revival. You will see a harvest. You will see generational curses being broken. You will see strongholds being cast down. All you got to do is believe. God sent me here today to tell you, you can see greater revival here. You can see greater deliverance here. You can see greater deliverance. There's something I want to point your attention to that happened also in the book of Acts. The Lord specifically brought this scripture to my mind when I was preparing for this message. Acts chapter 19, verse 17, it says, and this was known unto all the Jews and the Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Get this. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. In the Bible days, people were delivered from the things that were holding them back. It says it right there. It said they believed, then they confessed what they were doing, then they showed their deeds. Then you know what else it said? They took all that junk that was holding them back and they threw it in the burn pile. But too many times, I go into churches today and I see people that are hanging on to things that they shouldn't be hanging on to anymore. They're hanging on to things that are holding them back because the devil lies to people. I just really come to rebuke the lie of the devil today. The devil will lie to you and say, well, you cleaned up your act and you started going to church and you quit your drinking. But it's all right if you hold on to those cigarettes. Those are going to calm you down. They're going to calm your nerves. Man, that's a lie straight from the pits of hell. Hey, those things don't calm you down. They make it worse. Hey, too many times people hang on to things they shouldn't hang on to. They hang on to the things that are holding them back. They hang on to things like bitterness and jealousy and envy and lust and fornication and all these things. The devil lies to people. He'll say, you cleaned up your act. You got it all together, but it's all right if you text that worldly girl or that worldly guy. That's a lie. I'm telling you, the devil's lying to you. If you think you can't be unequally yoked with light and darkness, come on, that's a lie of the devil. The devil will say, you can dress holy. You already dressed holy. You look the part. You look good. But it's all right if you hang on to that bitterness in your heart. Let me tell you what, that bitterness is actually the thing that's going to take you straight down. And you're never going to be able to recover from it if you don't cry out to God and forgive the person that did you wrong. I'm telling you today, the devil lies to people. And he says that it's okay that you're holding on to that thing that you're holding on to. I come to rebuke that lie today. Yes. Now here's the deal. A lot of times it's our own fault, the reason why we carry so many weights around. Right. I won this family to the Lord. I taught them a 12-week Bible study at their house. And the wife was always talking about fear and anxiety. And I was like, well, let's pray. That's not of God. But then a couple weeks later, I overheard her talking to somebody at the church. She was listening to these crime podcasts at work. And I was just sitting there like, sorry to interrupt your conversation, but that's the reason that you're dealing with fear and anxiety, because you're listening to junk like that. Hey, let me tell you, if you're listening to garbage and you're consuming garbage in the things of this world, in the things that Hollywood is trying to put in people, in the things that media is trying to put in people, don't wonder why you can't put the cigarettes down or the lust down or the bitterness down, because you're consuming it. I feel it in the Holy Ghost right now. 2 Peter 2, verse 6 says, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example to those that after should live ungodly and deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Get this. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and in hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day. The Bible called Lot a righteous man. But you know what? And he was trying. He was living his life. But what he seen and what he heard was vexing his righteous soul. I'm here today to tell you, hey, it's time to start looking at positive things. It's time to start looking at good things, spiritual things, apostolic things. Hey, things that are going to make you better. Things that are going to make you do things right. Because I want to help somebody today. I feel like there are things that you have felt are harmless, that you look at and you listen to, and you've been holding on to things that you shouldn't be holding on to. But I didn't come to get on to you today. I came to tell you that the Holy Ghost will empower you to throw all that stuff in the burn pile. Hey, you come too late to tell me God don't deliver anymore. I was an alcoholic. I was on drugs. I smoked a pack of cigarettes every day from when I was 12 to when I was 26. But I went down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ. I've never drank another beer. I've never smoked another cigarette. I've never done another drug. Hey, I'm telling you right now, there's a charge in the atmosphere that says you can put the the cigarettes down. You can put that lust down. You can put that bitterness down. All you got to do is get under the spout where the glory comes out. You can be delivered today. It's time to see greater deliverance here. I'm telling you, that this church ain't called Lighthouse for no reason. This church ought to be a place with light where people can come off the streets and be delivered of their problems, be delivered of the cigarettes, be delivered of their alcohol, be delivered of their lust and their fornication. I'm here today to tell you, you can do it. You can be delivered. You don't have to hold on to the things that are holding you back. It's time to see greater miracles here. Greater miracles here. We all need a miracle. We all lifted up our hands when we asked God to do something. Well, in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John healed a lame man. Acts chapter 5, the shadow of Peter passed over people and healed them. Then later on in that chapter, they brought every single person in that city that had a disease or a devil or a sickness. And the Bible says they were all healed. Not some, all healed. Do you know that 7 times in the book of Matthew alone, it said they brought everybody that had a sickness or a disease and Jesus healed them all? Look it up, just in Matthew alone. At least 7. I think I quit researching after 7 and I'm like, that's enough. You know, he healed them all. But too many times we come in and we're like, oh, it's just the will of God that I'm feeling the way I'm feeling. No, you know what? It's time to see greater works. It's time to see greater miracles. Acts chapter 9, Dorcas was raised up from the dead. Acts chapter 14, Paul healed a lame man from his mother's womb. And I read all these stories and I got to thinking to myself, I'm tired of reading them. I want to see them. I'm tired of reading all the stories. I'm going to see them. Jesus said, he that believes on me, greater works than these shall he do. I'm tired of the old days where I hear about rooms full of wheelchairs and crutches. And I come to church and I don't see that anymore. I'm tired of hearing the old stories that we almost glorify the past day. But Jesus said the latter house is going to be greater than the former house. Hey, you know what that means? It's time to see greater miracles here. People always talk about overseas in foreign countries. They see so many miracles. They do. I've been over there. I go to Brazil every year and I've seen so many miracles happen over there. It's crazy. But let me tell you something. If it can happen in Brazil, it can happen right here. If it can happen in the book of Acts, it can happen right here. If it happened then, it can happen right now. I'm coming today to tell you, God does do miracles in the United States. It was a couple weeks ago. I was preaching, and I just felt in my spirit to say, there's somebody in this place that's dealing with fibromyalgia. I didn't even know what fibromyalgia was. But I was like, okay, God. I said, somebody's been dealing with fibromyalgia in this building, and if you'll just begin to worship God, God's going to heal you. This woman took off running and shouting. I was like, praise the Lord. That's her. And she began to dance, and she began to shout, and the power of God came down in there. There was so many notable miracles, we can't even keep count. But that woman got up, and she testified, and she said, fibromyalgia was the least of my issues, but it's one of them. I had this lump on my throat that was cancerous. And whenever I started worshiping God, it's gone. She said that when my ear was stopped up, I couldn't hear anybody. When they started praying for me, my ear opened up. I could see it. I could hear again. I'm here today to tell you, you can get a miracle in America. You can get a miracle here. God's going to do it. God already told me he's going to do it. You can get a miracle. I come to rebuke every lie of the devil. You can get a miracle today. You can get delivered today. You can get the Holy Ghost today. I don't care how many times you've been prayed for and it didn't happen, you can get a healing today. I don't care how long you've dealt with depression, you can get delivered from it today. I don't care how long you've had arthritis, it can be gone today. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're going through, but I'm here today to tell you, you don't have to go through it any longer, because Jesus told me that he was going to show up today and he was going to do greater works here. Why don't you stand with me right now? I don't care what you're dealing with today. God can meet your need. There's not a devil too strong. There's not a sickness too great. There's not a mountain too high. There's not an obstacle too big. I'm telling you, if you need something from God, you ought to walk up to this front and say, God, I'm not leaving here till I get it. If you need the Holy Ghost, you ought to come down and say, God, I'm not leaving here until I get it. If you need deliverance, you ought to walk up and say, God, I'm not leaving here until I get it. If you want to be a soul winner, you ought to walk up and say, God, I can be a soul winner. Let me tell you, you can do it. You can see a miracle. You can see it. You can get it done. God can bless your finances. God can refix your marriage. God can help your need. Right now, come on, that's it. The Holy Ghost is moving right now. The Holy Ghost is already moving. Come on, we all had a need. We all need to come get our need. That's it right there. Release that sound. That's the sound right there that I'm looking for. That's the sound right there that God's looking for. Right now, by the power of the name of Jesus Christ, I release the Holy Ghost power to work in this building right now. Right now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, receive your miracle. Right now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Come on, that's it. Begin to pray until the Holy Ghost is praying through you. Come on, that's it. Pray until the Holy Ghost is praying through you. Come on, it's the will of God that we pray until the Holy Ghost comes upon us. When you do that, faith begins to rise. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, receive ye the Holy Ghost. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, receive ye a miracle. Come on, if you got pain in your lower back, you can get a miracle right now. I feel that in the Holy Ghost. Somebody's been dealing with pain in their back. God wants to heal you. You don't ever have to deal with it again. Come on, a car wreck might have left you scarred up, and it might have left you with a limp, but God wants to heal you of it right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, that's it right there. Come on, God wants to take us deeper. God wants to take us deeper. Right now, I loose the gift of faith. Come on, you don't need anybody to lay their hands on you. An angel will lay their hands on you right now. Come on, if you need a healing, lift both hands up in the air right now. By the power of the name of Jesus Christ, I command every sickness to leave. I command every pain to leave. I command every hurt to leave. I command arthritis to be gone. I command cancer to be gone. If you need the Holy Ghost, if you've been seeking it and you don't have it, lift up your hands right now. Come on, if it's been a while since you broke through in the Holy Ghost, lift up your hands right now. Right now, by the power of the name of Jesus, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Be refilled with the Holy Ghost. Come on, there's people that are speaking with other tongues right now. There's people that are getting a hold of it right now. Come on, I feel there's strongholds that are coming down. Come on, there's a shift that's happening in the atmosphere. Come on, that's it. That's it right now. I feel this right now. Praise. Now just begin to praise God. Just begin to worship Him. Begin to lift up your voice. Let your voice be like a trumpet. Let out a shout of praise. Let out a hallelujah. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Come on, something's building in the atmosphere. Oh, He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. Hey, come on, you want to be a soul winner? Start lifting Him up. You want to see revival? Start lifting Him up. Come on, that's it. Don't let it die down. Don't let it die down what God wants to do.